Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Breakfast Bite on your Wednesday morning, the 23rd of September 2020. Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes as we bring you up to date with the latest in the world of racing and sport. Let's start with the footy. A lot of news out of the footy world yesterday, as well as some free agency and trade rumours bubbling about. We had plenty of action on the field as well, with Harris Andrews declaring he should be A-OK for the finals.
A couple more boxes to tick later this week, but should be right to go.
So that is a bit of a shock. He was expected to miss. Plenty more news to get through as well from Tom Hawkins, Michael Voss, Marcus Bontempelli, Lockie Hunter, plus the rest of your sporting and racing news on this Wednesday morning.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, the Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning. Half and Whitey to join us. Plenty to take you through on your Wednesday. Phil Murphy, head of ESPN Sports Center, will have a chat about the start of the NFL season. We'll also talk about the NBA playoffs, so an update on everything that's happening over in the US. The early mails, we try and get your winner before 7 o'clock. We were close yesterday, but no cigar for Half's runner, so they'll go again today. Sherelle McMahon, after 7 o'clock, will join the guys. The Melbourne Rebels coach, Dave Vessels, after 7:20. Isaac Smith, Hawthorn wingman. It'll be interesting to see what Isaac made of the final round of the season, what his future holds in 2021. Australian women's cricketer Rachel Haynes to join us, and then Greg Phillips as part of the RSN Legend series, the Port Adelaide Legend, after 8 o'clock this morning. So a very busy morning. Then after 8:30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. Lots to get through on his show, as always, on a Wednesday. In the build-up to the Melbourne Cup, we'll have the Melbourne Cup Diaries and the WS Cox Plate Legend Series coming your way as well. A new segment on the show later today, which I'm very much looking forward to hearing. If you miss it, catch it on the podcast, rsn.net.au, or subscribe to your local podcast store. And then after 10:30, Gareth Hall with RSN Central in what will be a very busy Wednesday morning, as always, on your home of racing and sport here on RSN. Let's start with the footy world. As you heard, good news for the Brisbane Lions off the top, as it does look like Harris Andrews might be A-OK for their final in a couple of weeks' time. Just to run you through, in case you missed the announcement yesterday, the finals were confirmed, and it was a win for St Kilda. They'll play their elimination final at the Gabba, not the Adelaide Oval, as some had speculated. So running you through the fixtures, the first qualifying final between Port Adelaide and Geelong will take place at the Adelaide Oval next Thursday, October 1st. October 2nd on Friday night, we'll see Brisbane host Richmond at the Gabba. And then on the Saturday, the October the 3rd, St Kilda v the Western Bulldogs at the Gabba at 4:40. Into the other elimination final, which is West Coast hosting Collingwood at Optus Stadium. That one to start about 8:10 Melbourne time. Let's have a focus now on the finals. We'll hear from Lockie Neal, who wants to learn from last year's experience for the Lions.
I'm super excited. It's going to be a big month for the footy club, and hopefully we can have a little bit more success than we did last year. We've learned a fair bit. We've made some mistakes, some bad errors last year, and I felt like we were in both of those games, so that holds us in good stead. We know that we can compete. We've just got to tidy up on a few little areas. They're not big things, but a couple of small things this week, and I feel like we can really compete. I thought my first final I was pretty solid against Richmond. I was able to have a little bit of an influence, and then was tagged in the second game by De Boer, who I knew it was going to be a struggle. He's a great player. I probably didn't have the influence that I wanted. And when I mean influence, that might be getting my teammates involved, blocking, releasing wingers. I was probably trying to fight my own battle a bit too much, so I learnt from that. I feel like I implemented that at times throughout this year as well, trying to bring teammates into it. When I was tagged this year, I feel like I improved on that, so certainly learned a bit. I don't think Richmond will tag, so I don't think they've tagged this year, and the way that they play, it suits them, so I'm looking forward to a good challenge this week. I focus a lot on the mental side of the game, and I was probably first introduced to that by Brett Kirk when he was at Freo as an assistant. He really taught me that side of the game, the meditation, mental imagery, so putting myself in scenarios that I'm going to be in on match day and replaying those in my head, certain different situations that I'm going to come across. So I do a lot of that stuff. I'm pretty meticulous in my preparation with, I suppose, things that I want to tick off before a game. I'm not superstitious, but I have a bit of a process that I go through and prepare mentally and physically to get me going for game day.
So there we go. The Brisbane Lions perspective ahead of their clash in a couple of weeks' time, which will be very interesting indeed. Let's head to the other side of the coin with the Cats. Now, we'll start with Tom Hawkins, who secured, of course, the Coleman medal in the final round of the season. We'll start with the big Tomahawk talking about his grandma and what she wants to do with him having the ball in the forward line.
She's a little bit old school in the way that she barracks for her grandson. She doesn't like me passing the footy off, and encourages me to have shots and kick goals, partly because she thinks I'm a good kick.
So a Coleman medal win for Big Tomahawk. Here's what he had to say about the clash against Port Adelaide.
Yeah, look, I think it'll be different. We played really well as a collective. I mean, our midfield were outstanding. Our defenders were really, really solid. They did a wonderful job, playing on Charlie and the rest of their forward line, who are a pretty dynamic bunch. So, we take confidence in that. But, they were really impressive last night. I thought they were great around the ball. They're dangerous the way they move the ball forward. So the process again will be exactly how it has been. We'll take confidence from what we've done, but it's going to be probably a different venue. It'll be definitely a different venue. So there'll be a lot of different parts of the game, a few personnel changes. So we'll take our time, be really clear with the way that we want to play and how we think we can beat them. We'll press forward.
Let's head now to the West Coast side of things with the Eagles to take on the Pies. We'll start with Craig Vozzo, who spoke about Elliot Yeo, unfortunately ruled out for the season.
Yeah, so unfortunately with Elliot, we've reached a bit of a stalemate in terms of the progress with his OP. We haven't been able to elevate his training to the level required to give him a chance to play. The pain levels for Elliot are too great, and the medical advice is that we're better off taking a long-term approach, which we need to do. Elliot's extremely disappointed. But we're going to have to obviously put his season on ice. We're obviously very disappointed too, but we have no choice in this circumstance. It's the right thing from a medical point of view to get him right for the long term.
So big blow for the Eagles there, hoping to get Yeo back for the finals, but that is not going to happen. I want a couple more back as well. Jack Darling here speaking yesterday about Jeremy McGovern's injury and rehab, plus a couple of other injured Eagles.
Oh, yeah, I expect him to be fine. Yeah, I think it's just a bit of an ankle roll, so yeah, he'll be fine, I reckon. Shuey's been running around pretty fast. Gov's been doing his running and seems to be progressing. Yoey's taking a little bit longer.
And let's head to Josh Kennedy's rehab. How's that going, according to Jack Darling?
Yeah, we work really well together. He plays a bit deeper, a little bit more on the wings, and yeah, but for me and JK, yeah, we've been doing it quite a while with each other, and I've been lucky to play alongside such a great player. Every week it's a battle to get up there to JK. He's always getting treatment. He's unbelievable, the stuff that he pushes through, I guess. He's right. He's consistent, always provides a great contest, and his leadership and all those things he brings to the team, yeah, we love
it. Let's finish on footy for the time being with an update for all our Western Bulldogs fans out there. Marcus Bontempelli yesterday giving an update on the fitness of Aaron Norton and Mitch Wallace.
Based on probably initial, I guess, diagnosis and then how they pulled up, it's looking good, I think. Norty's had Aaron, I should say, has had surgery not long ago, and that all went really well. Obviously, a bit of a unique one with a fracture or a little, you know, displacement there of the face, but he's recovering well. So he, you know, as long as all things go well, and he's a tough bugger, we're hoping he should be okay. And Mitch is a little bit the same. He hasn't had surgery, but obviously had a bit of a displacement sort of back there. And I think the news there is pretty good too. So at this point, if all goes well and all is heading the way that we think, they both should be available, which is good news. He's a tall fella, so that normally probably helps you out with, you know, you're able to get away a little bit from the shoulders and the elbows. But yeah, he just got copped with a bit of a sweet one there, Aaron.
There we go. Marcus Bontempelli speaking yesterday. More footy to come later in the show. Let's head now to the NRL, where they are building up to their final series. One round left to go. It's been a controversial one already. It hasn't even started. Melbourne Storm resting a number of their stars, as have the Canberra Raiders. First of all, let's check in with the Storm's head of footy, Frank Panisi, on why the changes are being made this week.
Before we do that, I think it's important. This is an opportunity this week for a couple of things. One is to any players that are carrying any injuries throughout the season, and a lot of players have been carrying injuries now for quite a while, is to give them opportunity to rest those injuries so they give themselves the best chance for the first final. The other important part too is that given that there's no State Cup this year, we've got a lot of players that haven't played much footy. So going into the finals, you need a full squad effort to do well. So we need to get some minutes into a lot of players to give us a good squad going into the finals. So that's a reason for the changes. Obviously, it's a game that, whilst it might mean nothing in terms of where we finish on the ladder, that can't be improved or declined. It's important for us to give some players some valuable time on Sunday, but at the same time, give some players some opportunity to rest their injuries.
Fantastic. So, yeah, perhaps starting at fullback.
Yeah, he's come through all these injuries, tests and so on. So he'll a great moment for Paps. Not only is he playing again, but he's actually captaining the team as one of our emerging leaders. There was a few choices that Craig had could decide on captain, so he's gone for Paps. So, yeah, he's missed the last few weeks, so it's important that he plays this week.
So a bit of news there from the Storm. Ryan Pappenhausen to captain the team this week, plus plenty of changes as they try and get their stars fit and already for the first week of the finals, having locked in second position on the ladder already. One person wasn't happy about it last night. In fact, a few weren't on the NRL 360 panel on Fox Sports. Let's have a listen to Paul Kent and co, who weren't happy with the mass resting at the Storm and the Raiders.
I don't think that's the issue, Ben. I think the issue is the fact that broadcasters pay a lot of money for high-quality talent, and to rest as many players as the Raiders and the Storm have, totally understand why they are doing it, but the NRL needs to say unacceptable.
I agree with Kenny. Kenny's spot on. If I'm Fox and Nine, I'm furious with this because they pay a hell of a lot of money, see the best players on the park every week. It's a 20-round season this year, and there's some big names being
played. These players are getting paid $2 million a year.
Yeah, but
sorry, a week. This
has been an extraordinary season where we had the rule change, we had the break. It's gone on forever. They've been living in a bubble. There hasn't been a buy. You don't know the circumstances. Like, in theory, you'd think, oh, Rick would have played him, had the chance to finish top four and get that bite of the cherry.
If it's so important to rest players there, if it's so important to rest the players,
busted.
Of course he has.
Well, he's thinking, if we play those guys this week, even if we win, we can't win the comp.
Totally get the
if
point.
If we give them, well...
Totally get that point. But look what's happening right now in the cricket with the BBL and the fact that the Australian cricket can't put out the stars because they're all going to be overseas and whatever. And Channel 7 has just said, you know what, we're not paying for this product. We're not paying for it. They don't want to pay the money.
Players are busted at the end of every season. It doesn't matter whether it's 20 rounds or 25 rounds. There's always players busted at the end of every season. And we've never seen that amount of players rested
by two teams. I think the NRL would be completely overstepping the mark if they stepped in and said, you've got to play
Maybe the players,
they don't know
maybe the coaches.
The situation that maybe these the clubs coaches, are in going
maybe,
into a final.
Maybe the coaches rest the players in stages. So as they're heading into the finals, three get rested this week and two get rested next week. And you get, rather than get to the end of the last game, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 of Storm's 13 players are being rested.
So the NRL running into the same issues that the AFL had a couple of years ago, which is one of the reasons the bye was introduced. So there we go. Very interesting times in the other code here in Australia, the major football code in winter. Time for a break at 11 to 6. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on some tennis, NFL and NBA, plus the rest of your footy news on your Wednesday morning.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Daniel Carlson, the leg, and plenty of it. Listen to the crowd that's not actually here in Las Vegas.
Important field goal yesterday for the Raiders, an upset as they beat New Orleans 34-24 in the final game of week two of the NFL. Tell you what, doesn't their stadium look unbelievable as well? New place in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, there's no one in the crowd. But geez, it looks impressive. So yeah, if you haven't seen that, Google it or look it up later today. It is amazing. Looks sensational. Hopefully we'll be able to get there one day. I'm sure people in America are thinking the same thing. Let's head to a bit of tennis from overnight as well. This is the build-up to the French Open, of course, which starts on Sunday, Australian time. There's the Hamburg European Open going on at the moment. Bautista Agut got through in straight sets, so he's through to the round of 16. Gael Monfils was the big casualty, the number three seed. He lost 6-4, 6-3. So a bit of a stumble in his preparation. Alex Rublev, the other high-profile winner, the number five seed in straight sets, 6-3, 6-3 over Tennis Sandgren. Meanwhile, on the women's side of things, the Strasbourg Open is going on at the moment, and Alina Fidelina got through 7-6, 7-5 in straight sets, the number two seed. So she is through to the quarterfinals, which will take place a little later on today. Let's stay overseas and we'll head to a bit of basketball now as the NBA playoffs continue over the next couple of days. A couple of intriguing series at the moment. One game to come today with the Denver Nuggets taking on the Lakers, who lead that series 2-0. And then another game tomorrow with the Heat playing the Celtics. Miami leading that 2-1 after the Celtics beat Miami earlier in the week on Sunday. Let's have a listen to the Celtics' Marcus Adams here, ahead of game four in that series.
We're a team that's down 2-1. You know, that's something that we have to live for, you know. So that's something that's eating at us. For the next couple of days until we play Wednesday. So for us, that's just more motivation and fuel for us to get ready for game four and to really keep that momentum alive. And we've seen it before with us, the Toronto series. You know, we go up 2-0 instead of, you know, closing out game three, they hit a shot to win the game and to send the series 2-1. In the next game, we come out and we blew them out. Not saying that this was going to happen, but it definitely gave us that extra fuel that we had to sit with. And the longer that we have to sit here knowing that we're down 2-1, it's just more fuel to the fire that we know we got to come out with them game four.
To Leighton Hewitt now, a big honour for him yesterday. He was nominated amongst a group of other tennis legends to be in the next class inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame. He spoke about the achievement yesterday on Sky News.
Yeah, you really have to pinch yourself. It's not something that you think about too much when you start off or when you're actually on tour playing either. You're really just sort of taking it one year at a time and chasing those majors and the Davis Cup success. And my last title was actually in Newport as well at the Hall of Fame Championships back in 2014. So it's a pretty special place for me and to be a nomination now for the 2021 class, it's a massive thrill.
Leighton Hewitt speaking there yesterday. In case you missed it as well, in footy news yesterday, the All-Australian 40-man squad was announced. To check out the full squad, head to rsn.net.au. Every player from every team that has been nominated is on the RSN website, so check that out, rsn.net.au. A couple of big omissions, including Todd Goldstein and also Stephen May, which caused a fair bit of debate and controversy yesterday, as it always does, but you can't have six centre-halfbacks or fullbacks or five ruckmen in the team. Let's head to Tom Hawkins now. We heard him a little bit earlier speaking about his grandma never wanting him to pass the ball. Maybe he would if he had Joe Danaher lining up alongside him. Here's what he had to say about the out-of-contract key forward from the Dons.
We're always interested in bringing quality people and great players to our club. We think we've got a club that that's really unique in terms of where we are. We've got a lot to offer. We've you know, we've been able to put ourselves continuously in these positions. And, you know, if a player like Joe, there's been a few others speculated as well, if they're going to help improve us and our list management team can make them or fit them in our system and salary cap, well, absolutely would be looking to bring players like Joe in.
Port Adelaide to take on the Cats at the Adelaide Oval on Thursday week. Let's hear from Michael Voss on the Power season so far.
And we're competing against a set of teams that have been involved in finals and quite rightly have got the job done, on the big occasion. And we haven't had that exposure yet. So understandably, there's some unknown about that. But, we lean on the confidence of what we've been able to overcome in games. And, you know, when the pressure's come, we've been able to stand up. When moments have been asked, we've been able to get it done.
To Lachie Neale now, the Brownlow favourite, who isn't going to let that distract his finals ambitions this year.
I don't really know what the night's going to hold. Haven't been told too much about that. And I think guys like Travis Boak, Jack Steele, Petrarca, they've had great years as well. So it'll be an interesting count. But I'm trying not to think too far ahead. We've got a couple of big games. Well, hopefully one and then a prelim to focus on before then.
Brisbane to face the Tigers. The main news out of the fixturing yesterday, St Kilda to face the Dogs at the Gabba, not the Adelaide Oval. So a win for the Saints. Let's hear from the Dogs captain, Marcus Bontempelli, on their flag hopes.
The fact that obviously it's happened before does give you the idea of, well, who knows? We've got an opportunity clearly that we know of, but we've definitely got one and have to try and make the most of it. But when you consider probably the game and probably the team has changed a little bit. It's a new team. I think we had nine or so of probably the players that were still out there from that year and that season, which does make it a pretty strong contingent, but still a largely pretty different crew. So it's definitely exciting. We do know we're up for a big challenge and a big fight against the Saints, but prepared to do everything we can to make the most of it.
There we go, Marcus Bontempelli speaking yesterday. That's it for the Breakfast Bite. Plenty to come on the Breakfast Club with Half and Mighty after 6. After 8:30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. And after 10:30, RSN Central with Gareth Hall. All part of a big Wednesday morning to get you through your hump day. Keep it locked on RSN. We'll chat again tomorrow.